Let's open our Bibles again to Romans chapter 15. I titled the message this morning, Fully Preaching the Gospel. I have looked at that very, very prayerfully and carefully this week because of how much I desire to fully preach the gospel, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ. I took the title from the end of verse 19 where Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And that brought two questions to my mind. Number one, what is the gospel? And number two, what is it to fully preach it? How can you fully preach something that's eternal? That's a good question, isn't it? What is the gospel and what is it to fully preach the gospel? Now the gospel, the word Paul uses here, gospel, means a good message. It's the gospel of God. It's a good message of who God is and how God saves sinners. Verse 16 calls the gospel of God. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Now the gospel of God is good news that tells us, declares, who God is. God is holy. God is love. God is gracious. God is just. The gospel of God tells us of God's glory, the majesty of His person, that God must be worshipped. His glory, His majesty, you cannot tell how high above us He is. The gospel of God compels us to worship God. The gospel of God tells us how God can save sinners like us and still be just. How can God save a sinner and not violate His holy justice? The gospel tells us that. It's through the death of a substitute, through the righteousness of another, the righteousness of Christ our representative. The only way we can know that is if God declares to us, tells us who He is in His gospel. It's the gospel of God. But look back at Romans 1. Remember, quite some time ago, we began the study in Romans. The gospel is the gospel of God, but it's also called the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. In Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel of God is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be who He is, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now the gospel concerns. The gospel is all about God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? The gospel's not about us. The gospel's not about us. The gospel does not tell us what a wonderful plan God has for your life and what God wants to do for you. No. The gospel is concerning. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel does not tell us how to be good moral people. The gospel is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who Christ is. What did Christ do? Why did He do it? And where is He now? That's what the gospel is all about what Christ has done. Now, without a doubt, Christ did come to save a people. I mean, his work was done for a people. And He did save them. He did indeed save them from their sins. But in order for Him to do something for those poor, wretched people, He first had to do something for God, didn't He? He had to satisfy God's holiness and work out a perfect obedience to the law that He could give to those people. He made those people righteous by keeping the law for them, in order to satisfy His Father. In order to save those people, Christ first had to satisfy God's justice for the sin of those people. He had to make the sin of those people. He had to make that to be His sin. He had to take it away from them and make it His. And He had to suffer and die to satisfy God's justice for all that sin. He had to first do something for God, didn't He? To take away that sin that made God angry. And He had to be raised from the dead. Because his sacrifice did indeed satisfy God's justice. It did put away all that sin. And we don't contribute one work to that salvation. God's people are justified because of the work Christ did for them, to satisfy all the requirements of his Father. Salvation is in what Christ has done. And the gospel tells us how wonderful he is, and tells us of all the wonderful things that he did. Not just that he did it, but like we read to open the service in 1 Corinthians 15, how that he died, according to the scriptures. He died to what purpose? To satisfy his Father and to put away the sin of his people. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. The scriptures call the gospel of the kingdom. Christ is king, isn't he? He's sovereign. He's king in a kingdom. He does as he will. That's good news. He came to save somebody. He's going to do his will. He came to please his Father. He's going to accomplish it. He did his will to please his Father. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Acts 20, verse 24 calls the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel tells us how God's gracious to sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love to hear of grace? The gospel is the gospel of grace. It's not of works. No, it's a gospel that gives rest. It's a gospel of grace. In Romans 10, verse 15, Paul calls the gospel of peace. It tells us how Christ made peace. You don't make peace with God. Christ already beat you to it. He already made peace with God through the blood of his cross. Now, that's the gospel. There's just one gospel. The gospel. And to fully preach that gospel is to preach all of it and not hold back anything that's offensive to the flesh. Now, you know, Brother Henry told me one time, this was good advice. It was, he'd been gone, I'd preached, and when he was gone, he came back and told me that was a good message. And then he waited a minute, and then he came back and he said, you know, you don't have to tell everything you know every time. I think he was telling me, Frank, shorten it up a little bit. You don't have to fully preach the gospel is not to tell everything you know every time. To fully preach the gospel is to not hold something back because you know it's offensive to the flesh. That's fully preaching the gospel. Remember when Paul was leaving those Ephesian elders? He knew he'd never see their face again. Big moment, isn't it? Big moment. He knows when he leaves, grievous wolves are going to enter in to that church, those people that he loved, those people he preached to. And he told them, you know this. I've not held back anything profitable to you. I've showed you publicly from house to house. I've showed you from God's word. I hadn't held back anything that's profitable to you. I've told you how wretched you are. I told you the vileness of our flesh. I've told you who the Savior. I didn't hold back anything because it might be offensive to you. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I hadn't held back anything from you because I knew it would make you mad. And that makes me innocent of the blood of all men. I told you everything you need to know in order to know God. I showed you that from the Word. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To fully preach the gospel is to preach it boldly, plainly, and not hold back anything because you know it's offensive to the flesh. And here's an example of that. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, Paul's not speaking against baptism there. The Lord commanded us to believe and be baptized, didn't he? Confessing him as our Savior. He's not speaking against baptism. What he's saying here is, Christ didn't send me to get results. Christ didn't send me to see how many people I can baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, to preach the gospel in the wisdom of words is, he's talking about preaching the gospel in the wisdom of the flesh, not the wisdom of God. We must preach the gospel in wisdom, right? The wisdom of God. But it's not the wisdom of the flesh. It's not phrasing things so that the flesh will believe it. If the flesh accepts our preaching and believes it, something's happened. We had to change it. We had to change the gospel in order for the flesh to believe it. And if we do that, we've made our message utterly powerless to save. That's what making the cross of Christ of none effect. It's to make the gospel powerless to save because we change the truth of it. If we change the truth of the gospel and somebody believes it, they're going to go to hell because they believe in a lie. That's how important it is to fully preach the gospel of God, to not hold anything back. This gospel is the gospel of God, the gospel of the Father. To fully preach the gospel is to not hold back anything offensive to the flesh about the Father, but actually declare, fully declare, who He is. This is the truth. Father elected the people to say. Now, to hold back that truth, or to change it, to speak about it in wisdom of words so that the flesh might believe it, is to make the cross of Christ of none effect. And I'll give you an example. Here's how you preach this in the wisdom of words. Christ died for everybody who will believe on Him. True statement, isn't it? True statement. But to leave it there and not declare the truth that Christ died for His elect. And He died only for those people. And those are the people who will believe. I think it was last week I had an article in the bulletin about whosoever will. I believe in that entirely. And I know who will come. I know who those people are. It's the people that the Father chose. The people that the Son died for. The people that the Holy Spirit drew. See, to just leave it there, Christ died on everybody who would believe on Him, makes it sound like salvation is up to our decision, isn't it? And that makes the cross of Christ in effect. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. So to fully preach the gospel is to declare the truth of who Christ is and not hold any of it back because it's offensive to the flesh. The truth is this. Christ died for His elect. And He died only for those elect. That's what He said right before He went to the cross. He said, Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that Thou hast given me, for they're Thine. So to say, Christ died for everybody, because He wants to give you a chance to be saved if you'll just believe on Him, well, that's a lie. That's preaching in the wisdom of words. And nobody's ever going to be saved by believing that lie, because that lie will make them believe on another Jesus, not the Lord Jesus, who came to save His people from their sin. Now, preaching it that way, we'll get more people in the baptismal pool. It'll get more results. But Paul said, that's not why God sent me. It'll get more people in the pew. But Paul said, that's not why God sent me. God sent me to fully preach the gospel of Christ. Because that's the only way anybody's going to be saved. It's got to be the gospel. Isn't that what James told us? James 1 verse 18. Of His own will begat He us, how? With the word of truth. Not something phrased so that the flesh can understand it, but with the word truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. The truth. That's fully preaching the gospel of Christ. To fully preach the gospel, we must declare the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Equal with the Father. Equal with the Son. Because He is God. The Holy Spirit comes and gives the new birth to His people. And that's vital. That's vital. You must be born again. God must give you a new nature because your original was ruined in sin. You must be born again. And to fully preach the gospel is to not hold back anything about man. I was looking over my notes this morning and tried to think of words that I could use to accurately depict how totally depraved, how filthy, how disgusting we are in the sight of God. And the only words that I could think of are words you ought not use in mixed company or when you're being recorded for the world to hear. I mean, just this is how disgusting. Disgusting. We are. We're helpless and we're hopeless in ourselves. We're ruined in sin. And to hold some of that back and say you could do something for Jesus is a lie. That's not fully preaching the gospel. Look over at Psalm 40.
If any of you men are ever called on to preach, or to teach, an awful good example is our Savior, the Prince of Preachers. Look what he says here in Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Now you know that can only be talking about one man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that all the scriptures are written about. This is him. And he came preaching. Look, he says in verse 9. And here's what he preached. Here's his outline. You know, Christ did something. He did it fully. He did it perfectly, didn't he? Well, here's fully preaching the gospel. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, to fully preach the gospel, this is what our Savior did. He fully preached the gospel. He didn't hold anything back. But he declared righteousness. Now, whose righteousness did he declare? He said, thy righteousness. The righteousness of God. Whose righteousness ought we declare? I mean, whose righteousness saves? Well, it's not ours, is it? No, it's the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness imputed. His righteousness imparted. It's Christ's obedience that makes us righteous, not our obedience to the law. That's fully preaching the gospel. To fully preach the gospel is to declare God's faithfulness. Right now, really, whose faithfulness is it to save? Well, it's not ours. I mean, we ought to be faithful, but let's face it, we're not. Our faithfulness is very fickle. To fully preach the gospel is to declare thy faithfulness, to declare God's faithfulness. Salvation comes from God's faithfulness to do everything he promised to do in order to save his people from their sin. Salvation comes from Christ's faithfulness to come and obey the law for his people. And to willingly become the sacrifice for the sin of his people, that he might put their sin away. It was his faithfulness to do that. To fully declare the gospel is to declare the Holy Spirit's faithfulness. He comes and gives life, grants faith and repentance to all of God's elect. Then to fully preach the gospel is to declare God's salvation. God's salvation. Salvation is the salvation that the Father purposed, that the Son purchased, that the Holy Spirit applies. It's the work of the salvation of the whole Godhead. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a work that God does for His people and in the hearts of His people. Now, you who attend here, you know this. I have never tried to get you to do something. Never tried to get you to make a decision. Never, never. But simply declare God's salvation. God will apply it. That's just fully preaching the gospel, being confident He'll apply it. Because salvation is not our decision. It's not our works. It's a work of God. And fully preaching the gospel just declares this, what wonderful things God has done for His people. That's the gospel. To fully preach the gospel is to declare God's loving kindness. Oh, what a precious truth to preach. God's loving kindness. The holy God, the just God, the one who dwells in a light that no man can approach unto, has the capacity to love sinners. What good news. Salvation is not me deciding to love God. The flesh never loves God. Anybody in the flesh says they love God, lying to you. That's not so. Salvation is in God's capacity to love sinners and still be holy. To fully preach the gospel is to declare God's truth. To declare the truth of the whole Bible. And you don't have to, when you declare the truth of the Bible, you don't have to bother trying to explain it to the flesh. Because who can understand it anyway? I mean, come on. Who can understand the Trinity? We just talked about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I fully believe that, don't you? I can't understand it. Who can understand Christ being made sin? I can't comprehend it.
I believe it. How can I understand how when I look at myself, all I see is sin? Yet I believe I'm perfectly righteous. I can't understand that. Who can understand anything that God does? Now, what we're called on to do as preachers is unapologetically declare the truth of the gospel. Because that's the only way God's going to be honored. And that's the only way sinners are going to be saved. God will see to it His people see what they cannot see. He'll see to it that they'll hear and believe what they cannot hear and believe by nature. That's fully preaching the gospel. Now, I hated this when I was a kid. I hated when a preacher said this. That's a long introduction, but now I've got a few points. I promise I'll be brief. That's a long introduction, but that's the gospel. That's fully preaching the gospel. And I want to give you 5 marks of the gospel being fully preached. I won't be too long, I assure you. Number 1, to fully preach the gospel is to constantly remind people of the same things. The song we just sung, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Janet loves that song. Tell me the old, old story. Just tell it to me over and over and over again. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He told the Philippians to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous. But for you, it's safe. Everywhere Paul went, he just kept repeating the gospel. That's what he says to the Romans here, verse 14, Romans chapter 15. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Now, Paul said, I know you already know these truths, all these truths of the gospel, these fundamental truths. You're able, you know them, and God's gifted you to be able to teach them to each other, to admonish one another. And that word admonish means teach. It doesn't mean to correct and chastise and be mean to one another. It means to teach. God's gifted you. You know that. He said, I know you're filled with goodness. You're filled with the goodness of Christ, with His righteousness. You know it's not your goodness, but it's Christ in you. You know this, that you're complete in Him. You know that. And I know this about you. You're filled with the fruit of the Spirit. You're filled with love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, kindness. You're filled with those things. And since that's true, I can write even more boldly to you, even more plainly to you. Someone told me recently, I'm just amazed how comfortable you are, just so boldly preaching this gospel. Well, what Paul says of the church at Rome, I say about y'all. I know these things about you. So I can be bold. I can be bold. I do not have to worry that I'm too harsh killing the flesh. No. No, you love it. Believers love kill the flesh. Show me how sinful I am. So I'm forced to look to Christ and depend on Him. Show me that. Now, you already know these truths. I'm not telling you something you've never heard before. You've heard it over and over and over again. We rejoice to be reminded of these truths, don't you? And aren't we glad? I mean, honestly, how often do you have to be reminded that God's sovereign? Do you ever get tired of that? God's sovereign over everything going on in your life, over everything going on in this world. Isn't that a comfort? That this thing isn't an accident, that it hadn't happened because I'm dumb? No, God's sovereign over this. How often do you love to be reminded God's merciful? Oh, God, be merciful to me, sinner. God's merciful. You love to be reminded of that? You love to be reminded God's gracious to sinners. He saves sinners by grace, not because they've done something to deserve it. God's going to keep His people. I mean, we know. If we know anything by ourselves, I know this. If God lifts His finger off me for a second, I'll fall away. So how often do you love to be reminded God's going to keep His people? They will persevere to the end because God's going to keep them. How often do you love to be reminded God will comfort the hearts of His people? He will comfort them with His presence. How often do you need to be reminded of that? Often. Often. Because of how easily we forget. So we need to be reminded. And the man who fully preaches the gospel will constantly remind us of the truth of the gospel, saying the same things over and over and over again from God's Word, from different texts in God's Word. We need to be reminded. All right, second, when the gospel is fully preached, God's people will be saved. Verse 16, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare speak of any of those things which God hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul went out preaching, and these Gentiles were saved. When were they? When were they sanctified? When were they made holy in the new birth? Huh? When they heard the gospel being fully preached. When they heard it and believed it. Now, don't be confused by this word Paul uses, acceptable, here. We're not, the believer is not made acceptable in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Christ. Now, I wonder why he used that word acceptable. Well, actually, Paul didn't use the word acceptable. The word that he uses here means approved or well received. And normally, it's translated accepted. I don't know why the translators chose acceptable there, but normally, the word is translated accepted. The same word is used at the end of verse 31. He says that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted in the sights of the saints. It's the exact same word. They should have translated accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. And when the gospel is fully preached, sinners are going to be saved. Because it's pleased God by what men call the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now this thing of believing, when the Gentiles believed, they were saved. This thing of believing is not just giving mental agreement to some obvious facts. Believing is bowing to and surrendering to Christ the Savior. Paul says, when the Gentiles heard the gospel fully preached, God made the Gentiles obedient. Obedient. They obeyed. Well, what did they obey? Did they start keeping the Jewish law and the Jewish dietary requirements and the Jewish Sabbath? And no. What did they obey? They obeyed the command of the gospel to repent. To turn from those things that you're trusting in. Quit looking at those things. Quit trusting those things and turn and trust Christ. To believe Him. Look at Acts chapter 17. Here's the command of the gospel. Here's Paul preaching in Athens. Wouldn't you love sitting there listening in on this message? Verse 30, he says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." This is the command of the gospel. God commands all men everywhere to repent. But what a gracious command. What a gracious commandment. Turn from these idols that can't save anybody, that can't do anything for anybody, and turn to Christ and trust Him. What a gracious commandment. The Apostle John said, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we should love one another, as he has given us commandment. Now, what a commandment. What a commandment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. What a commandment to love him, to love our brethren. That commandment's not grievous, is it? Oh, what a gracious commandment. And Paul said the Gentiles, when they heard the gospel fully preached, he said they were obedient in word and deed. They were obedient in word. They publicly confessed they believed Christ. They believed indeed. They quit trusting in anything other than Christ and just rested in Him. They quit trying to work to satisfy God and just rested in Christ. That's obeying indeed. Obeying indeed in action is actually to quit working and rest in Christ. And all that came from hearing the gospel fully preached.
And you know the story of the Apostle Paul's travel. He travels and preaching. He saw the Lord save many people. And he says, I don't take any credit for that. I'm not taking any credit for that. How can you? How can any preacher take credit for what God does? We can't. The preacher is nothing more than an ambassador. We're not coming up with our own ideas and our own thoughts and ways and programs. The ambassador just goes out and says what the king says. Just delivers the message of the king. And that message is successful. When you see God save his people, when you see God cause his people to be strengthened in Christ, you glory in God, in his graciousness, in his mercy, in his power, what he does through the preaching of his gospel. When the gospel is fully preached, sinners are saved. All right, here's the third thing. Fully preaching the gospel builds God's people up in the faith. The exact same message that saves the lost will build up the believer in the faith. Verse 20, Paul says, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now, Paul was a missionary. He wasn't a pastor. He was a missionary. And he went and preached to people who had never heard the gospel. And he says, where the name of Christ was not named, people never heard the name of Christ. They never heard the gospel. And Paul went to those places as a missionary to preach the gospel. And as he preached, what he was doing was laying the foundation of faith. People there, if they believed and the church was raised up, well, now the foundation's laid. And Paul would ordain a pastor, and that pastor would stay and build on the foundation. And Paul would go on to the next place where they'd never heard of Christ. But that pastor stayed there after Paul left. He didn't preach a different message. He preached the exact same message. The same message that lays the foundation of faith builds up the walls of faith. The message that's for the youngest child is the same message for the oldest believer. It's the message of Christ. And the example I think of about that is our Bible school. We have Bible school here in the mornings. The first thing we do is all the children, all the teachers, we all gather in here. We sing some choruses, and I got about 10 or 15 minutes to talk to the kids. It's some of my favorite minutes of the year to get to spend that time teaching our children. And I work very hard to try to, the older I get, the more intimidated I am by trying to teach children. I forget, you know. And I work pretty hard at that. And if the Lord gives me something, and I think it's something good for the children, you know who always is so thrilled with it? The adults, the teachers. That tells us something about preaching, doesn't it? Just preach to the little ones. Make it where the little ones can understand it. The oldest believer will thrill in it. I remember the first time I taught my substitute taught for my dad's class. The class he taught for many years was the experienced ladies. I can't say older, but the ladies. And I taught the children's classes, you know. I went in to teach that class, and buddy, my knees were knocking. I thought, these ladies have forgotten more gospel than I am. What am I doing teaching them? And they told me, remember how you taught the little children? Teach us the same way. Teach us the exact same way. That's what we need. Because you know what they said? We forget. It goes back to that first point. Preaching the gospel fully is saying the same things over and over and over again. And the message that lays the foundation is the exact same message that builds the walls. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Somebody lays the foundation, somebody builds the walls. Both of us were nothing, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They have the same message. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You are God's building. according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now the foundation is Christ. Other foundation can no man lay. That's the foundation of our faith. But you know what? Other walls can no man build either. The walls are Christ too. So you see how you build upon this foundation. Gold, silver, and precious stones. That's the deity of Christ. The preciousness of Christ. The beauty of Christ. That's how you build upon the foundation. To you who believe, He is precious. He is precious. It's Christ that saves, and it's Christ who builds His people up too. And we keep fully preaching this gospel, the best that the Lord will enable us to do it, because it's what everyone needs. Everyone, from the youngest child to the oldest person in this room, this is the message everybody needs. The gospel of God. The gospel of Christ. All right, here's the fourth thing. Fully preaching the gospel of Christ causes God's people to fellowship together. Verse 22, back in our text, Romans 15. For which cause also I've been much hindered from coming to you. Paul had all these missionary travels that the Lord had sent him on. I've been hindered from coming to you, he says. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. I'm going to come see you. For I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, Paul had never seen many of these believers here at the church at Rome, but he sure wanted to. He knew some of them. Many of them he hadn't seen. And he wanted to see them. He wanted to come there and preach. He wanted to sit down and break bread with them, fellowship together in Christ with them. He says, what I want is to be filled with your company. It's not, I'm not just want to come and dispense all my wisdom, you know, from the ivory tower down to the poor masses. I want to be filled with your company. I want to have this fellowship together with you. And that time that believers can spend together like that is a blessing. Now, that's what fills our heart. That's what encourages us. And also, we might pick up something. We might learn something from our brethren. That's a blessing. And that's what Paul says he wants. I want us to be filled with your company. And the blessing he's talking about is union with Christ. Union with you. You know, if we get together to fellowship, if we would do that this afternoon, you know one thing we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about, if you're going to be with me this afternoon, we're going to eat lunch or something together, we're going to talk about basketball. We're going to talk about the NCAA basketball tournament. I mean, I'm just thrilled with it. But quickly, we're going to pass on from that. And our conversation is going to turn to the Savior. Because that's our fellowship. It's in Him. And I tell you what, we miss a real blessing when we do not seek fellowship with our brethren. We miss a blessing. Look at what Paul says, verse 28. Here's the fullness of the blessing he's talking about. When therefore I perform this, or I bring this gift, I've sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He's talking about there, the church, certainly the blessing of preaching it and believing it, but he's talking about fellowshipping together. When the gospel of Christ is fully preached, God's people have fellowship together. People who don't have anything else in common but the gospel fellowship together around it. All right, and here's the last thing. When the gospel is fully preached, the gospel is put into practice in people's lives. Verse 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it pleased them, of Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now Paul says, you know, he went out and he fully preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and they believed. They believed Christ. God saved them. And then you can tell that God saved them. Because they put the gospel into practice in their lives. How did they do that? They became generous givers. They recognized their debtors. Now, all of us are debtors, aren't we? We're debtors to God's grace. We're debtors to each other. I'm a debtor to you. I owe you a debt of love. And we're debtors to one another. And that's what the Paul said. He said the Gentiles felt like they were debtors to the Jews. Well, why? It was because the Jews went out from Jerusalem preaching the gospel. When God sent that persecution there, they were scattered out from Jerusalem and they went into all the world preaching the gospel. These Gentiles heard the gospel from a Jew and they felt like they were in their debt. They reaped such spiritual blessing, they benefited. And so they felt like, I want to give to them. They're suffering materially in the flesh. They're suffering. I've benefited from them spiritually. I want to give and help them carnally. And it pleased them to do it. It pleased the Gentiles. Yes, it was a debt. Yes, they owed it to them. But it pleased those Gentile churches to take up an offering and send to their Jewish brethren who are suffering so much. It was a joy to them. And I thought of this church. Nothing's changed. This is the result of preaching the gospel fully. It put into practice in people's lives. This church is so giving. Giving of physical things to support a pastor, to support the ministry that ministers spiritual things. Giving is a joy. It's not a debt. It's not something, you know, you feel sorry, you have to, you know, let go of that money. Giving is a joy that every believer can enjoy, no matter how much or how little the Lord enables us to give. And the only thing you can attribute that to is the work of the Spirit. Aren't we selfish by nature? No, we are. We're selfish by nature. So the only way somebody like us can find it such a joy to give is God's given us a new nature. And it happens through the gospel being fully preached. The gospel being fully preached tells us salvation by grace and not by works. But when the gospel is fully preached, it will affect the believer's walk. God's people don't just sit around like bumps on a log. Resting in Christ does not mean you sit around like a bump on a log. God's people are active. They're active in giving. They're active in serving the Lord. Verse 30. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit." This is not in order to be saved. This is not in order to earn something from God. It's for Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You see how God's people here are active in serving the Lord, aren't they? The work of the ministry. And not just for pastors and elders. No, it's for everyone. We're to strive together in the ministry so that the gospel can be preached. And that applies to what we're looking at earlier, giving an offering. But it also applies to the giving of ourselves. I want you to think what talents and abilities God's giving you. God's given everybody here talents and gifts and abilities. Then use them for God's service, whatever it is. If God's given you the ability to teach, then teach faithfully. Do it fully. If God's given you the talent to do things to take care of this building so people have a place they can come worship, then do it with everything you got. You got the talent to give kind words of encouragement. You just show somebody you care when they're hurting. Then give those words generously. Do it with all you got. And here's something everybody can do. Everybody can pray. Paul says, strive together with me in prayers to God. We can all pray that the Lord bless His Word, can't we? We can all pray that God save His people. We can all pray, God, give me a hearing ear. Give other people a hearing ear, but give me a hearing ear. Cause us to grow in grace. We can all pray for that. That's being active in serving the Lord in this ministry. You know, I don't know what the Lord's will is. But it could be. It could be that the Lord be pleased to bless His people right here. It could be. That I want to be faithful to fully preach His gospel, don't you? Lord bless you. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for this gospel that You've given to us. A gospel that declares full, free salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us the faith and the grace to fully preach it and to fully believe and rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His precious name we pray and give thanks.